conference record has joined the conference.
Okay, I heard a few more beeps while we were waiting for the conference record to start. So welcome everybody to tonight's topical call on the Affordable Care Act implementation. If it gets noisy where you're at, feel free to either mute your phone or press star 6 to mute your line if you don't have a mute button. And to unmute, it's pound 6. So if it gets a little lively where you are, and sometimes that happens, and it's okay. So tonight our topical call is on the Affordable Care Act implementation and what does that mean for your family and your neighbors. So going to right away to the second slide, and as we're moving along, if you have questions, just feel free to stop me because sometimes I have a tendency to talk really fast. So starting, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was passed into law on March 23rd of 2010, and it had really three main goals, and that was to improve the individual experience of care, improve the health of populations, and reduce the per capita cost of care for populations. And on that second slide there, I put a link for you on the full overview of the law in case anybody would like to read that. So moving on to slide number three, there was really four interrelated Affordable Care Act approaches. One was to expand Medicaid. The other was to establish insurance marketplaces and offer subsidies. It also did allowed for insurance reforms, and then it provided individual and employer mandates. So there was really those four interrelated approaches. Some of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act happened pretty much right after the implementation of the law. Basically, for pre-existing conditions, they wanted to make sure that kids were covered first. So if there was health plans that what happened is that health plans wouldn't be able to exclude coverage for pre-existing conditions from policies, and that applied to children under 19 beginning September 23rd of 2010. For many of our kids, that was an issue. Families were excluded from purchasing insurance because a child might have had a pre-existing condition. And the other thing that did happen that is that insurers will have to accept everyone who wants to purchase a plan regardless of their health status starting in January of 2014. So people can buy on the marketplace and there really is no need for high-risk pools any longer. So, and that will apply to adults over the age of 19. And again, that will start on January 1. So the mandates were for whom? So the new protection applied to everyone who got coverage through work, and to everyone who buys an individual or family plan after March 23rd, 2010. That protection applied to those who stayed in their individual insurance that they bought before March 23rd of 2010, unless that plan had made major changes in coverage or substantially increased cost sharing or deductibles. Those were what was known as those grandfathered plans. So on the next slide, you'll see that the plans that existed on March 23rd were insurers and employers could make routine changes without losing that grandfathered status, and those routine changes might include some of that cost adjustment. So the policies also needed to state that they were a grandfathered plan. So on slide seven, insurance reforms, were really there to protect access and control costs. So most insurers now cannot deny coverage due to a pre-existing condition, rescind coverage over simple paperwork mistakes, they cannot set lifetime caps on essential coverage, or they cannot charge women for more than men, which was called gender rating. Most insurers now must cover the essential health benefits. They have to cover preventive services with no copays, cover young adults through the age of 26, They have to spend more on services and less on profits, and they have to justify double-digit rate increases or the rate review. And there's also, I sent a link on there for your rights and protections, which links to healthcare.gov. There's no-cost clinical preventative services, so there's no deductibles, no co-pays. That coverage was effective in 2010, which covered cancer screens such as mammograms and colonoscopies, vaccinations like the flu shots, measles, mumps, blood pressures and cholesterol checks, and tobacco cessation counseling and interventions. Additionally, women's preventive health services such as pap smears and birth control was covered effective of 2012 and 2013. And I also put a link down there. As of April of 2013, there were some religious organizations that are exempted from providing coverage, and there's a link there for you if you're interested in that. So basically, the Affordable Care Act said that there needed to be essential health benefits that were covered under all of the plans that were entering into the marketplace. And those 10 health essential benefits were outpatient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health and substance abuse, including behavioral health treatment, prescription drugs, habilitative and rehabilitative services, and labs, and preventive and wellness services for chronic disease management. So essentially, all policies in the marketplace had to include those 10 benefits. The Affordable Care Act on slide 10 removed the annual and lifetime benefit caps for children and adults, and they cannot impose annual dollar limits exceeding specified amounts for those essential health benefits. So from September 23rd of 2012 through January 1st, the annual limit could be no lower than $2 million. After that, there is no annual limits on the essential benefits are permitted. So then in September 23rd of 2010, there was no lifetime cap on new individual plans and existing individual and group plans. All right. On slide 11 is the young adult coverage through a parent's policy. As many of you know, and for many of our families that have children, or youth, I should say, with special health care needs, this was pretty important. So young adults can stay up to age 26, can remain on their parents' health insurance, even if the student or child or youth doesn't live at home and doesn't necessarily have to live in the same state as the parent. The parent has to have coverage through their employer or by family coverage in the individual market, and they must provide dependent coverage, but the young adult really does not need to be a dependent in order to receive that coverage. So on slide 12, it talks about preventive care. So preventive care is really covered without co-pays or other cost sharing. For children, preventive care and screening was based on the Bright Futures model, and that's a model that Family Voices embraces, the Academy of Pediatrics embraces, the Maternal and Child Health programs. That's a program that we at Family Voices have been very familiar with. Also, screening is also based on the Preventive Services Task Force, and the immunizations based on the CDC guidelines. So that tells you a little bit about that. On slide 13 is there are shared responsibility requirements to help keep the markets balanced. So for most individuals and families, you must obtain minimum essential coverage or pay a penalty. That minimum essential coverage, for some of us that have been talking about this for a while, they call it MEC, M-E-C. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, because some concerns have come up because of that. So it means that you have to have acceptable coverage, which includes employer-based plans in the marketplace, public insurance, and others. There's numerous exemptions. You can be exempted for religious reasons, due to financial hardship, or if you're an undocumented immigrant. And large employers of 50 or more must offer minimum essential coverage to full-time benefits or also pay penalties. But those penalties will only apply if employees get coverage and subsidies in the marketplace. And I've left you a link on there for that. On slide 14, I don't know if you'll be able to access that on a PDF file if you're interested in these. There's three videos that are really quick, easy videos that you can watch that explain and would help you if you would like to share the information with others on the Affordable Care Act and what that may mean for families. So one of the other components of the Affordable Care Act was that the Medicaid coverage expansion. Some states chose not to expand their Medicaid program for individuals. North Dakota was one of the states that chose to expand their Medicaid coverage for adults. So individuals up to 138% of the federal poverty level beginning at January 1. So if you if your children whose income is under 138% of the federal poverty level, they would, if they're enrolled in a CHIP program or the Healthy Steps program, if they're under that 138%, they will now be rolled to Medicaid. And one of the good things about the Medicaid program is the protection of EPSDT, which in North Dakota is called Health Tracks, but it means Early Periodic Screening, Diagnostic, and Testing. That is a very comprehensive program that really does have a lot of protections for children that are 18 and under. So all states now also must have a same income eligibility criteria for the expansion, and it's called the MAGI, which is a Modified Adjusted Gross Income. It's also going, the MAGI is used, that formula is also used for the Affordable Care Act to buy insurance into the exchange. And the other expansion was that young people that are aging out of foster care can maintain their coverage in the Medicaid system until the age of 26, and that will start in 2014 as well. So on slide 16 is a slide to apply online for a Medicaid expansion. It's really going to give individuals the opportunity to have affordable coverage. We at Family Voices have been navigators, and a lot of the folks that we've been helping have I would say a good portion of them have completed the Medicaid expansion application that I have assisted. So it's a great thing. So on slide 17, you can see what the income levels are there for people who are going to need the Medicaid expansion. So if you have a, if you're an individual or a couple, if you make under $21,000, $404, what we have been asking folks, if they don't have any health coverage, is to go to the North Dakota Medicaid expansion page and apply for that. And the reason is because on the healthcare.gov website, while folks may be registering and applying for the marketplace, if they qualify for the Medicaid expansion, a lot of those applicants have not gotten to the state yet. So for those folks that are in these income bracket levels, we've asked them to make that application to the state Medicaid expansion program right away, because we don't want them to miss coverage starting January 1. Does anybody have any questions on that? Okay, moving on to slide 18. It's kind of a snapshot of what the old healthcare.gov website looked like. It looks much different now, but basically that kind of gives you an overview of the marketplace. So you would want to create an account, then you apply, you pick a plan, and you enroll. We have, as we've been assisting individuals with their applications, things are going better on healthcare.gov. People have been able to enroll, and it's a little bit more comprehensive. You can now go on there and look to make have a look at the plans before you make your decision. You can kind on it kind of gives you an estimate of potentially what you may be qualified for as far as tax credits, but it doesn't give you what you may be eligible for as far as subsidies. However, if there is another site, and it's further down into the presentation here this evening, which is from the Kaiser Family Foundation. It's called a health calculator. That has been pretty accurate. So there's two ways that you can find out if you're eligible for a tax credit, for sure, and then if you're eligible for a subsidy, you can also find that on that Kaiser calculator. So on slide 19, the health insurance marketplaces were they're important because it's a new and easier way to shop for health insurance, and there's strength in numbers. So there's really three models. There's a state-run exchange, a state and federal partnership exchange, and then there's a federally facilitated exchange. What North Dakota decided to do was to be part of the federally facilitated exchange, which means that anybody that wants to apply for insurance in the marketplace needs to do that through healthcare.gov. Minnesota is one that has a state-run exchange. Montana has a federally facilitated exchange, and it varies from state to state. The websites are for consumers to shop and apply, plus you can also now phone in and get in-person assistance. And it does offer affordability credits and subsidies. And again, as many of you know, open enrollment began October 1st. The first plans will begin January 1st. And if people want to make sure that their insurance will start on January 1st, they will need to have applied on healthcare.gov by December 23rd. And again, you can also do a phone application as well. Through the number is on healthcare.gov. So plans that are sold in the marketplace are called qualified health plans. And what they are is they're private insurance plans. They have to cover those 10 essential health benefits. They have to cover certain levels of value, and they're called metallic plans. So in North Dakota, we have bronze, silver, and gold. In some states, they offer a platinum, and we'll talk a little bit about what that means. They also have to include essential community providers and where they're available in their networks, and they have to comply with the Affordable Care Act insurance reforms. So on slide 21, you can see that these are the tiers of the health plans. The platinum would be like a 90-10 plan. The gold plan is an 80-20 plan. The silver plan is a 70-30, and the bronze is a 60-40. But again, in North Dakota, there was no platinum plans offered. So who can help? Going to page 23, or slide 23, there are navigators across the state, and Minot State applied for a grant to become navigators for the state of North Dakota. So they have navigators. There are 17 of us all together. They have contracted out to Family Voices and the Federation of Families, and then they've also contracted out to several individuals to become navigators. And so we provide information to individuals who have questions, if they want to enroll, that kind of thing. So that is our role. And then there's certified application counselors, and many, and I won't say many, but we are getting more all the time. So you have to be like a community health center, a healthcare provider, a hospital, local government. So in my area, the Lisbon Hospital, Oaks Hospital, Jamestown Hospital, Valley City Health, there's several there that the community health centers in Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, there are several across the state that are certified application counselors, and we're getting more all the time, which is great because I think it's going to take many of us to to help get people enrolled for insurance. On the healthcare.gov website, on the bottom of the website, it says who can help you apply. There's something that kind of implies that, and you can go on there, put in your state or your zip code, and it'll pull up everybody that is listed. Now, Family Voices is not particularly listed, but Minot State is, and we have that contract through them. On slide 24, here is kind of a little bit of what the marketplace application looks like, the paper copy. We've encouraged people, you know, initially we started off with paper copies because the healthcare.gov website was working so poorly. But now they're not taking paper applications for those individuals that are going to be needing insurance by January 1st. It just isn't feasible. So that's why you can either apply online at healthcare.gov. You can make a paper application for those that don't need to have it by January 1, but more by March. Or you can apply by phone. And there's the toll-free number there is listed for people to apply by phone. All right. So on slide 25 is really where to learn more about the Affordable Care Act, and I've listed several websites there to find out some more information. So a little bit about the Navigator Project as well is, again, there were 14 state-facilitated exchanges. Those are states that you apply through that state and not through healthcare.gov. So like Minnesota, Washington, Oregon, those are some of the states that have their own exchange. North Dakota, again, is one of, with 36 other states that are part of the federally facilitated exchange. The insurance providers that are part of the North Dakota exchange are Medica, Sanford, and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Again, on slide 29, it just shows you kind of a split out of what those level of coverage is, the bronze, silver, and gold. The plan pays on average of what each of those and what the enrollee would pay in addition to their monthly premium every month. So, again, the bronze is a 60-40 split, silver is a 70-30, and the gold is a 80-20. And, again, in North Dakota, we do not have any platinum insurance plans. I just want to make sure that everybody really understands what the essential health benefits are, and not only in the marketplace, but now as things are moving forward, insurance companies are across the board trying to raise their standards to make sure that these essential health benefits are covered in their future insurance plans as well. So some plans are probably going to have some changes. So again, who does the Affordable Care Act affect? Starting in 2014, most people must have health coverage or pay a fee. So if you don't have a certain level of coverage, again, is that MEC through Medicare, Medicaid, through the Children's Health Insurance Program, TRICARE, which is a military program, if you certain VA coverage, an individual policy, or a plan in the marketplace, you may have to pay a fee while filing your taxes. So starting when you file your 2014 tax return in 2015 is when they will be looking at if you will need to pay a fee or not, because there'll be a checkoff on there regarding the coverage that you have. And again, some people may qualify for that exemption. So open enrollment began October 1st, and it will end March 31st of 2014. The next open enrollment will start in November of 2014, November 15th. You need to live in the service area of which you're going to apply. And I put that on there for in the case we have any folks that have moved here but haven't gotten permanent residency for, like, say, for that are maybe working on the oil wells or the oil rigs. if you haven't gotten your permanent residency in North Dakota, you will need to apply or enroll in the state of which you resided before you came to North Dakota. The other thing is that you have to be a United States citizen or national or be in the United States lawfully for the entire enrollment period, and you cannot be incarcerated. Those are some of the eligibility and enrollment criteria. If you get enrolled by December, no, I didn't update that slide because it changed after I had done this, but if you are enrolled by December 23rd, you should be enrolled as in as picked out the plan as well. You should be covered by January 1st. So, and then between the 1st and the 15th through of January through March, you will start the first day of the following month. And if it's towards the end, between the 16th and the last day of the month, it will be the first day of the second following month. So let's say you don't get in by December 23rd, but you get in December 26th, your coverage will start February 1st. And there may be some exceptions that allow for earlier effective dates. So we do have a special enrollment period. You can enroll or change your quality health provider within 60 days. For an individual and 30 days for a small group if you have one of these qualifying events. If you gain or become a dependent, if you gain or lose eligibility for tax credit or cost sharing reductions because you may have got a really nice pay raise, if you for gaining lawful presence in the United States, that's considered a qualifying event. Relocating, resulting in requiring a different quality health provider. So if you relocate to another state, or if there are some enrollment errors. So those are some of the qualifying events. So again, on slide 35, application and eligibility. So you, it starts off by submitting a streamlined application to the marketplace. However, for those families that may be Medicaid expansion eligible, I really want to encourage people to go that route first before doing healthcare.gov because of the time lapse there. And people have not been getting that the healthcare.gov has not been getting those applications to the state Medicaid office. So you want to submit your streamlined application either by phone, online, by mail, or in person. They're going to verify and determine eligibility, and then they'll let you know if you're eligible for a qualified health plan, if you're eligible for Medicaid or the Healthy Step program. Then you either enroll in the marketplace or you enroll in CHIP. And that is supposed to be how easy it is. However, as we know, it wasn't the rollout wasn't as smooth in the first 2 months of rollout, but it has gotten much better now. So on slide 36, you may have lower premium costs. There is a refundable or advanced premium tax credit that lowers the cost of the health plan, and that's based on your household income and your family size at the end of the year. If your income is between 100 to 400% of the federal poverty level, so for a family of four, that's $23,000, up to $94,000 for a family of four, you may be eligible to get a tax credit or a subsidy. If you obtain quality health insurance through the marketplace, you would be eligible for that tax credit as well. The one thing to remember is the only, from my understanding from what our training said, and I don't, and if, and maybe Miriam, you may have clarification on that, as well, but what we've been told is if you go to individual insurance plans, you may not get the subsidy or tax credit unless you go through healthcare.gov, and that's what we've been told. How much is the tax credit? That will all depend on your income size of your household and the federal poverty level. The premium for the silver plan is adjusted for your age. any sliding scale that increases the taxpayer's own contribution towards the premium costs as household income as a percentage of the federal poverty level increases. So all of that will depend upon your household size and your federal poverty level of which you may fall into on how much credit you would get. We've been telling folks on slide 38 that the modified adjusted gross income, you can find that on your tax returns, and it shows, and I just listed there on what line of your federal income tax return where you would find your modified gross income. So it's line 4 on the 1040EZ, it's line 21 on the 1040As, and line 37 on the 1040. Those are your adjusted gross income amounts. We've and if you don't know what your income is, if it's been really flexible, we've been having people apply that number from your tax return from the previous year. So on slide 39, you can see what the income range is per household per member. So as far as qualifying for tax credits and some of the subsidies. So it is pretty significant. And so how can that tax credit be used? It will reduce your premium upfront, so you can choose an advanced premium tax credit. You choose the amount up to the maximum. Advanced payments are paid directly to the insurer on your behalf. And the amount is based on projected household income, and it's going to get reconciled at tax time. So it's very important to be very honest and as possible when you apply in the marketplace to determine how much your premium is going to be and how much your tax credit you can get. And it's always important to report your income changes immediately to avoid over or underpayment, and you can do that through healthcare.gov. The cost sharing reduction is based on income at or below 250% of the federal poverty level. So if you're a family of four, there's another cost sharing, your annual income would need to be under $58,000. You must also be able to receive receiving the premium tax credit, and you must enroll in a Marketplace Silver plan. And they're all three, Medica, Sanford, and Blue Cross, all offer those Silver plans. There is special consideration for members of the federally recognized Indian tribes, and there is no cost sharing if income is less than 300% of the federal poverty level. On slide 42 is the is that interactive subsidy calculator. So if folks would like to get an estimate of what their subsidy may be, this is a great place to get that. It asks you a few questions, and it will pop up potentially what your subsidy and tax credit would be. So far, it's been running pretty accurate. So some things that you're going to need to apply is any Social Security numbers or document numbers for legal immigrants. You'll need to know birth dates of your entire family members, any pay stubs, W-2 forms, or wage and tax statements, policy numbers for any current health insurance, because it will ask you those questions, and any information about any health insurance you and your family could not or you could get from your jobs. So moving on to slide 44 is the pre-existing condition insurance plan transition. They're a temporary program covering those with a pre-existing condition. If you remember when the Affordable Care Act first started, these were the plans for those folks that had a pre-existing condition that had never been able to get insurance before. Those programs are going to end on December 31st, and then the Marketplace coverage begins on January 1st. So those folks that had a pre-existing condition insurance plan are going to need to reapply in the Marketplace so that they don't have any break in coverage, because there will not be an automatic transition phase, so they'll have to reapply. The North Dakota navigation to the Affordable Care Act, currently there are there's more than that. There's 17 certified navigators across, and there's somebody in each of the regions. Again, some of those partners were Family Voices, the Federation of Families, the North Dakota Center for Persons with Disabilities. In Minot, Stephanie Burt through Minot State is one of the navigators. In Williston, we contracted to Heather Wheeler in that area as well to be a navigator. And then on slide 46 is just another YouTube video about, which is a walkthrough through the marketplace, which is quite comprehensive and easy in case you may want to share that with others. Again, on slide 47 is how to enroll. So you can enroll through healthcare.gov. For individuals, you can call the toll-free line there, that 1-800 line, and that is just for individuals. There also is a TTY in case you happen to be an individual who's hearing impaired or deaf. If you're a small business and you have 25 employees that you would like to make sure get enrolled in insurance, there is a number there for you to apply. You can call any of the navigators. Minot State just got their website up and running, so you can see the navigator website there. Or you can call us at Family Voices. We're certainly here to assist you. All of the staff at Family Voices have taken the navigator training and are able to help. So we're more than happy to do that. So at that is kind of a quick up and quick. It's quick overview of the Affordable Care Act and where we are at currently. Does anybody have any questions at all?
Hey, Denise, it's Miriam.
Hey, I'm going to go out. I'm going to take us off recording, Miriam, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hang on.